Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Archuleta, Atkins, Bates, Bell, Borges, Bradford, Caballero, Chang, Dodd, Durazo, Galgioni, Glazer, Grove, Hertzberg, Hill, Hueso, Hurtado, Jackson, Jones, Leyva, McGuire, Mitchell, Monning, Morlock, Morrill, Nilsson, Pan, Porchettino, Roth, Rubio, Skinner, Stern, Stone, Umberg, Wykowski, Wiener, Wilk.
A quorum is present. Would the members and our guests beyond the rail and in the gallery, please rise. We will be led in prayer this afternoon by our guest chaplain, Sister Maria Campos. After which, please remain standing. We will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Senator McGuire.
Good afternoon. It's on your radio.
God of loving kindness and mercy, we ask you to quiet us, that out of still spaces we may hear your voice. May we walk in faith all our days, aware of the interdependence of all living things, and come to know you in everything and in each other. Quiet us, O silent word, that out of still spaces we may hear your voice, from the galaxies and the farthest stars to the smallest atoms in our hearts. You are the living flame of love. May we see your divinity in the within and the without of all things. Quiet us, O silent word, that out of still spaces we may hear your voice. Gather us together, O healing presence, that we may live in peace and with all people and bring glory to your name. Amen.
Madam President, Senators, distinguished guests, please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Good afternoon, members. We are going to start with privileges of the floor. Senator Portantino, do you have a privilege of the floor? Senator Portantino at the Majority Leader's desk.
Thank you, Madam President and members, colleagues. Today I'm here to honor and recognize the California Educational Theater Association on their 21st annual California Youth in Theater Day. And they're right behind me. This is good. Which brings student performers and teachers from all over the state capital. Today I'm joined by Amanda Swan, Michael Despars, Eldon Klein, and Stacy Castiglione. Since 1996, more than 3,000 students have traveled to Sacramento to perform Youth in Theater Day. These students distinguish themselves as the future of... Thank you. As the future of arts and entertainment business, these talented youth participants are award-winning theater students throughout California who will perform monologues, scenes, songs, and dances to demonstrate their creative expertise to the legislative community. The California Youth in Theater Day connects and inspires a growing collection of artists, educators, and scholars committed to transforming young people and the communities through theater arts. Please give a warm Senate welcome to the California Youth Educational Theater Association.
Welcome to your California State Senate.
May I present a resolution?
Please proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Portantino. Senator Hertzberg. Senator Hertzberg at the pro tem's desk. Senator Hertzberg at his own desk. Please proceed.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very, very much, Madam President. You know, we all get opportunities in this job to do things that make our hearts sing, and today is one of those things for me. A group of students here, all women, a group of students and mothers and teachers started a global revolution in the San Fernando Valley that I represent. Many films are made in the San Fernando Valley each year, but it's not every day that they are produced by high school students, and it's not every day that they win an Academy Award, ladies and gentlemen. But I would suggest that it is not just that they won the award, but is the subject of their film that is so important. These exemplary young women from Oakwood High School, with their English teacher, Melissa Burton, are part of a school club that began as a chapter of Girls Learn International, a program of the Feminist Majority Foundation. They went to the United Nations learning about some of the challenges that are faced by women, young women throughout the world, and eventually turned their efforts into what is known as the PAD Project, a nonprofit organization which, as I suggested, just won its award for documentary film entitled Period, End of Sentence. The PAD Project and the documentary are created has a noble and important goal, delegitimizing menstruation. I'm here today, colleagues, to tell you that menstruation is not a female issue. It is a human issue. It is part of all of our lives. It is part of fertility. It is a fundamental piece of who we are as human beings. But across the globe, this piece of humanity is used to ostracize young women. As a result, even in otherwise so-called civilized societies, women face serious health risks because of lack of information about menstruation and lack of proper hygiene products. The PAD Project is working to stop this. Their motto, a period should end a sentence, not a girl's education. Because that's what happens in a number of these countries. These incredible young women here today have fundraised to purchase pad machines for rural Indian villagers where menstruation is so taboo that a woman is banned from entering temples and sometimes their own homes because of it. Think about that. These students have such a sense of community that they spend their time and energy helping young women just like themselves more than 8,000 miles away because they see and have seen this issue in its human terms that affects all of us, no matter what part of the world you live in. The PAD Project, its Academy Award, is again, it's entitled Period, End of Sentence, which shows their incredible work they have done for women in India. And since the documentary was released last year, the PAD Project has installed two more PAD machines in India and plans to continue their work internationally. And I sincerely encourage all of you, if you haven't done so yet, is to watch this very short but incredible documentary. I'd like to congratulate the students of Oakwood High School and the PAD Project for their work in empowering women across the world and for their teacher, Melissa Burton, and here today, who went to India. As part of this, our Mason Maxim is here with her mother, Maggie, Naomi Zebek, Mara Worth, Dorothea Mokaney, and Leah Sugarman. Please, ladies and gentlemen, give them your greatest respect for their unbelievable work.
Congratulations, ladies. Welcome to your California State Senate.
Maggie's a speaker. And after session, there will be a short a reception if you want to come and visit with them for both assembly members and senators upstairs in my office. So again, thank you very much and congratulations. We have a resolution here somewhere.
One moment, Uber Senator Hertzberg.
There it is.
Senator Hertzberg, one
we'll
moment. Senator Mitchell.
Photograph.
Thank you very much, Madam President. And I want to thank my colleague for acknowledging the phenomenal work of these young women. Colleagues, it's playing right now on Netflix. It's about 30 minutes, so there's no reason why everyone here shouldn't take a look. It was a moving, emotional piece of art, and you are You all are to be congratulated. A number of my colleagues and I traveled to India with the Senate Office of Travel this past fall, and so we were familiar with the general surroundings and the culture that I saw. I could not speak to the issue to all of us as policymakers in California and as a woman to make sure that we recognize that you don't have to go as far as India to confront this issue. This is a fundamental issue of the difference between the haves and the have-nots. And while the issue the young women portrayed in the movie dealt with cultural and religious taboos, what we have here in the great state of California with the fifth largest economy in the world is an issue of affordability. We've dealt with this issue in the Department of Corrections, where women inmates were given limited access to appropriate items that they need on a monthly basis, sanitary napkins. And I have to say, as a young woman, to see you all and to acknowledge that we have come so far, my seatmate, that a short could be filmed and be the brainchild of young women, and as the filmmakers who accepted the Academy Award to say that they could stand on that stage and say the words pad and menstruation, we've come a long way. To think back to our own high school experience about that, the shame that was associated with nature. So I want to tip my hat and congratulate you. I hope that your work will continue here locally, and I really wanted to make sure that my colleagues right here know that you don't have to go so far as to India to recognize that young women struggle with this every day. Check with your own school districts to see how many absences they note monthly for young women who don't show up to school, and ask the question why. So congratulations, you all make us very proud.
Members, we are still under privileges of the floor. Senator Wiener, did you have a privilege of the floor? Senator Wiener at the pro tem's desk.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Colleagues, it's with great pleasure that I welcome the leadership of the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District to the Senate chambers. The district is not only the caretaker of one of our state's most iconic landmarks, of course, the Golden Gate Bridge, but is also the largest operator of commuter ferries in the state of California. In addition, the district's fleet of hybrid and renewable diesel buses carry passengers from San Francisco and Marin County to destinations far to the north. Here with us today are Sabrina Hernandez, the president of the board of directors, Gerald Cochran, who is a member of the board of directors, Dennis Mulligan, who's the district's general manager, and Amarette Kuo Wong, the secretary of the district. So please join me in giving a warm Senate welcome.
Welcome to your California State Senate. Thank you, Senator Wiener. Members, we're still under privileges of the floor. Senator Rubio.
Thank you, Madam President and members. It is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Marilyn Rosa Bray to the chambers representing Grifols, a key business interest in my district and throughout California. Dr. Rosa Bray serves as Grifols' Chief Medical Officer and Vice President of Quality, Regulatory Compliance, and Laboratories. Grifols is a global leader in plasma donation centers, managing 256 in the U.S. and Europe. The company produces plasma-derived medicines and treatments for rare diseases such as hemophilia, primary immune deficiencies, genetic chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and RH incompatibility that places certain women at risk of premature child delivery. Dr. Rosa Bray is responsible for overseeing Grifols' critical centers around the country and its growing number of centers in California made more feasible in part by legislation passed by this body and signed by the governor last session. Members, please join me in welcoming Dr. Marilyn Rosa Bray to our chambers. Thank you.
Welcome to your California State Senate. Senator Glaser, did you have a privilege of the floor?
Thank you, Madam President, members. There's students in the House today, students in the House and the Senate. As many members know, students from around California have been up here today meeting with you and your staffs to continue the important conversation about student needs, student financial aid, housing, hunger, and many other critical issues on our campuses. We're graced with some of those student leaders here in our Senate chambers today. We welcome you to the Senate, and members, join me in acknowledging our wonderful student leaders here in the Capitol.
Welcome to your California State Senate. Members, we're still under privileges of the floor. Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm honored to welcome the California Association of Black Lawyers, better known as CABLE, here today. CABLE is a 42-year organization that's comprised of African-American attorneys from all across the state of California in various fields, from private practice to public defenders to our DAs. They're some of the brightest and the best, and they're joining us here today, and I'm honored to recognize the president, Damian Brown, and his board, Melinda Murray, and you might know the last name Murray, the daughter of Willard Murray, and former Senator Kevin Murray, and Attorney Ross, and I'm drawing a blank on, but we have them up in the gallery, so let's give them a California welcome to this.
Welcome to your California State Senate. Thank you, members. That will conclude our privileges of the floor. Messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read and amendments adopted. Motions, resolutions, and notices. We will now move to consideration of the daily file. We have one governor's appointment. Madam Pro Tem, would you like to take that up? Thank you. Senator Wilk, please proceed. One moment. Mr. Secretary, please read. Never mind. Please proceed, Mr. Wilk.
Thank you, Madam President, members. File item number one is the confirmation of Susan Finelli as Chief Deputy Director for the California Department of Public Health. Ms. Finelli previously served for 3 years as the department's assistant director, and she has held various positions at CDPH and the formerly named Department of Health Services since 2002. She was unanimously approved by the Rules Committee on February 20th. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Wilk. Members, any discussion or debate? Seeing and hearing none, Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Archuleta. Aye. Atkins. Aye, Bates. Aye, Bell. Aye, Borges. Aye, Bradford. Aye, Caballero. Aye, Cheng. Dodd. Aye, Durazo. I. Galgione. I. Glazer. I. Grove. I. Hertzberg. I. Hill. I. Wisso. I. Hurtado. I. Jackson. I. Jones. I. Leva.
I.
I. McGuire. I. Mitchell. I. Monning. I. Morlock. I. Morrell. I. Nilsson. Pan. I. Portantino. I. Roth. I. Rubio. I. Skinner. I. Stern. I. Stone. I. Umberg. I. Wachowski. I. Wiener. I. Wilk. I. Nilsson.
Please, please call the absent members. That's fine.
Chang. Nilsson. I.
Ayes 37, no 0. The measure passes, or the appointment is adopted. Members, we're now going to move to Senate third reading, item 4, Senator Pan, pass on file. We'll now move to item 7, Senator Borges, pass on file. All right, we are now moving to our special consent calendar. Prior to taking this up, members, is there anything that you would like to remove from the consent calendar? Seeing and hearing none, Mr. Secretary, please read all items on the calendar.
Assembly Concurrent Resolution 20, 21, 24, and Assembly Concurrent Resolution 27.
Very good. Please call the roll on the first item.
Allen. Aye. Archuleta. Aye. Atkins. Aye. Bates. Aye. Bell. Aye. Borges. Aye. Bradford. Aye. Caballero. Aye. Chang. Dodd. Aye. Durazo. Aye. Galgione, I. Glazer, I. Grove, I. Hertzberg, I. Hill, I. Wisso, I. Hurtado, I. Jackson, I. Jones, I. Leva, I. McGuire, I. Mitchell, I. Monning, I. Morlock, I. Morrell, I. Nilsson, I. Pan, I. Portantino, I. Roth, I. Rubio, I. Skinner, I. Stern, I. Stone, I. Umberg, I. Wachowski, I. Wiener, I. Wilk, I.
Ayes 37, no 0. The consent calendar is adopted. Members, are there any committee announcements? Is Human Services meeting at some point today? Yes, Senator Hurtado.
Thank you. For purposes of announcements, Senate Human Services will be meeting in room 2050 at 3 p.m.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other announcements? Seeing none, so we will go to motions and resolutions. This would be the appropriate time for adjourn in memories. Senator Wiener.
Thank you very much. Excuse me. Thank you very much, Madam President. Adjourn in memory is for myself and also for Senator Skinner. Colleagues, it's with great sadness that I rise to ask that the Senate adjourn in memory of Tess Rothstein, a vibrant young woman who was taken from us while biking to work in San Francisco on Friday morning. Tess, who was a resident of Berkeley, worked as a researcher for Medium and Airbnb, focusing on user experience and design. She was killed on Friday morning while biking in the South of Market neighborhood when she was struck by a commercial truck near the intersection of 6th and Howard. Her death is yet another tragic example, and we've had far too many of these examples, of how our cities fail to protect cyclists and pedestrians in favor of cars. We desperately need more protected bike lanes in San Francisco and elsewhere, so that we have safe streets. A protected bike lane would have saved Tess's life. No more excuses. Tess is mourned by her friends, her coworkers, and a very, very large community, with people saying things like, Tess was a, quote, model of confident, curious, and compassionate humanity for all of us. Colleagues, I ask that we adjourn in Tess's memory today. And I further ask that her tragic death serve as a strong impetus to make our streets safer. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wiener. Senator Skinner.
Thank you, colleagues. I rise to also add to the adjourn in memory for my constituent, Tess Rothstein. And our colleague from San Francisco did describe who she was well to you. But I want to add that we do need to do much more about cyclist and pedestrian safety. I don't have data on increase in deaths per se, but it is way too common, way too frequent. And just in Berkeley alone, my community, 10 cyclists were hit by cars in February, 11 in January. Not all were fatalities, but that's how many. And if I gave you the number of pedestrians that were hit, just in Berkeley alone, it would be hard to believe. So I think it really is incumbent upon us, because all of us want to be able to do active transportation without risking our lives. And with car safety improved so greatly, we don't want to feel like the only time we're ever going to be safe is in a car. So it is completely tragic that Tess Rothstein lost her life in this way. My heart goes out to her family and her friends, and I thank my colleague from San Francisco for asking us to adjourn in her memory.
Thank you, Senator Skinner. Senator Wiener, please make sure her name is brought forward. Thank you. Senator Atkins.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I rise today to adjourn in memory of former San Diego City Council member Judy McCarty. She passed away on Monday, March 4th at the age of 78 after an extended illness. Councilmember McCarty was one of the longest serving city council members in San Diego history, representing District 7, which I now represent in the Senate, for four consecutive terms from 1985 to 2000. And on a personal note, I was a staff member at City Hall when Judy was a council member. I worked for Christine Kehoe. And Judy was one of the most down-to-earth people you would ever meet. And she represented a community of City Heights along with, there were three council members, Chris Kehoe, Judy McCarty, and George Stevens, Reverend George Stevens. And it was good that three people split that community. I know we try to keep communities together, and that's kind of a facet of redistricting. But that community had more than 95,000 people, 85 languages and dialects spoken, and the lowest average median income in the city. And to have three council members from three different perspectives and political persuasions, frankly, represent that community meant that there was a real focus on that community. And Judy was one of the hardest working council members that I was able to learn from. A colleague and a friend until the end. She's fondly remembered for her work to invest in San Diego's public infrastructure, especially parks and libraries, which are vital to building community and quality of life. Colleagues on the City Council remember her as hardworking, no-nonsense type of leader. True to her Midwestern roots, she spoke softly, but she was solid and serious in her work and her causes. Among her many accomplishments, she was perhaps most proud of her work on behalf of Mission Trails Regional Park. I hope you all have an opportunity to visit that park. It continues to be a point of pride for our community as the largest city park in America. Before serving on the City Council, Judy worked for Councilman, Assemblymember, and Senator Larry Sterling as a district representative and as chair of her local community planning group. She was born in Hammond, Indiana in 1940, went on to graduate with a degree in journalism from Indiana University, where she also met her future husband, Kurt McCarty. Judy McCarty is survived by her husband, Kurt, her son, Dwight, her daughter, Kate, and five grandchildren. So, colleagues, please join me in honoring the memory of Judy McCarty. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Atkins. Please make sure her name is brought forward so we can properly memorialize her. Members, is there any further business? Seeing and hearing none, Senator Atkins, the desk is clear.
Thank you, Madam President. We will reconvene at 9 a.m. on Thursday. Have a wonderful week, colleagues.
Members of Senate will be in recess until 3:30, at which time the adjournment motion will be made. We will reconvene Thursday at 9 a.m. Have a great day, everyone.